Why would a missionary traveling to a faraway land ever have to spend months learning that new language? Why spend $179 for mail-order tapes for a crash course in that strange new dialect when the Word of God seems to promise an instant and miraculous gift of tongues? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, this is Kenneth Richards with a big welcome to each of you joining us today. Here in the middle of our series entitled Glossing Over the Tongues Issue, we're especially eager to mail each of you this helpful gift booklet entitled Mysterious Power in My Life about the ministry of the Holy Spirit for you. Details coming right up, but we're going to go right now to Lonnie in our Wednesday message, Left Off God's Christmas List.
A Christian preacher, Mrs. Michael Baxter, back in the year 1885, spoke at a large religious conference in England. However, because it was an international gathering, she addressed the crowd in the German language. One German-speaking man came forward that night and accepted Christ for the first time. Later, she spoke and taught almost daily the German-speaking people, hundreds of them, in fact. However, we have to put a bit of an asterisk on this story. Here it is. Mrs. Baxter couldn't speak German. It wasn't native to her. She'd never been taught a word of it in school. She hadn't taken courses in it. In fact, except when she was teaching or preaching the Christian gospel, as she did for 35 eloquent minutes that night at the conference, she couldn't speak German on her own at all. She literally could not walk into a shop where the storekeeper spoke the German language and make herself understood. Now, friend, what do we have here? Is this a modern-day occurrence of what the Bible calls the gift of tongues? History's filled with stories of Christians who could miraculously and immediately speak in a foreign language when they needed that spiritual gift. Back in the 3rd century A.D., we read in Christian literature, Pachomius, founder of the first Christian monastery, testified and witnessed in Greek and Latin, both languages he'd never learned. Interestingly, just as Mrs. Baxter experienced, he only had this gift of tongues or languages when he urgently needed it for spiritual communication. And not at any other time. 800 or so years later, a Saint Dominic, it's reported, suddenly could speak German to share Christ with some travelers from that country. Francis Xavier in the 1500s was given a sudden fluency in Chinese and also in Indian Sign Language, a very unique kind of gift of tongues. That's more of a gift of fingers and hands, maybe. And it, too, was a transient gift, only placed at his disposal when needed to tell about Christ. Louis Bertrand, also in the 16th century, could communicate miraculously with Indians in the Western Hemisphere in their own language. Well, we could tell other stories like these. And of course, the greatest of them all is right there in our Bibles, Acts chapter 2, where Peter and others were instantly able to proclaim the brand new gospel of Jesus to 3,000 people in their own languages. It's very clear in the Bible and in the Christian church's 2,000-year-old history that there have been times when God, through His Holy Spirit, has chosen to work a miracle. And it's been a miracle that not only saved precious time, but also drew people to Christ. It attracted a crowd. The miracle gave evidence that God was with these people. Put simply, the gift of tongues had a utilitarian purpose. There was a definite, specific language barrier, and God uniquely and miraculously gifted some Christians to communicate the gospel to edify foreigners with specific content about Jesus Christ. However, there's another side to all of this. The facts are that not all Christians have this gift. Many great men and women of God have gotten on steamships or trains or 747 airplanes, gone to a foreign country, and not had this same gift happen to them. My good friend, Pastor Mark Finley, has been to downtown Moscow, right in the very heart of the Kremlin Congress Hall, to share the gospel of Christianity to 14,000 people per night. And what a thrilling thing it would have been if he had suddenly been able to speak fluent Russian. Why, a miracle like that would have galvanized the entire Russian population, where Finley is a very popular Christian speaker, having been seen on television there for many months. And it's undeniable that there's hardly a Christian alive on this planet more baptized in the Holy Spirit than Pastor Mark Finley. But no. On opening night back there in 1992, Mark had to have a translator standing next to him to turn his New England English into Russian. And that's been my experience as well on my several trips to Russia, homeland of my grandparents. My winter-coated audiences in Perm had to patiently wait until wonderful Russian pastors translated my words, sentence by sentence, into the local language. I don't speak Russian. And God didn't choose to give me or Mark the Acts 2 gift of tongues. It's a gift Mrs. Michael Baxter had, and Mark and I don't have. We have to wonder why. You know, I'm so thankful to God for the genius, the brilliance of bilingual men and women who can translate from English into Russian for me. Some of them, I think, are a lot better preachers than I am. They make my sermons better as they go along. And I've been at camp meetings and other large gatherings where some translators could speak three or four languages. They could translate in any combination you wanted. You just push the button and it came out right. But it's still true that it takes twice as long to preach that way. You get through half a sermon every night instead of a whole one. And that translator, a full-fledged preacher in his own right, sometimes could have been off holding his own meetings in some other city. Why wouldn't God want to have his work going on twice as fast? Or here's another question. Many good Christians of all denominations travel around the world, even here in 1997, to a mission assignment and spend the first 6 months slogging through guess what? That's right, they kill themselves in language school, learning to speak Japanese or Tagalog or another difficult foreign language. The first year sometimes is wiped out learning a language while the work waits. And Christians who read about the Bible's gift of tongues have to wonder, why? Well, friend, answers are sometimes hard to come by. And I'm not going to know until I reach our heavenly home why God hasn't given me this particular gift. Oh, how I longed for it in Borislav, Ukraine, and Perm, Russia. But we're using this week of Bible study at 1 Corinthians 14 not to engage in debate or argument about the gift of tongues, but to find the broad principles of truth that can bless all Christians regardless of affiliation or charismatic status. I believe it's Bible truth, considering the pages of Scripture and the annals of history, that the gift of tongues is real. Even though these miracles haven't happened to me, they have happened to other men and women of God, and we should praise Him for that gift. We praise Him when the gospel goes forward by miraculous means. And if we believe the Word of God, these things indeed are real. This isn't a phantom manifestation by any means. However, the second point is equally unavoidable. Isn't it also true, as we look around us, that this gift of the Spirit, like all the others, isn't given out to everyone? Not everyone has the gift of prophecy, or the gift of administration, or the gift of preaching, or the gift of tongues. Here and there, yes. In the first century, the second, the fifth, the eighth, the 20th, and we assume in the 21st, if we ever get to that new millennium before Jesus returns. But the evidence is clear. It's a foundation truth of spiritual gifts that God distributes them according to His own wisdom, and that not every gift is given to every individual Christian. This takes us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we studied extensively a few weeks ago. And I would urge you to return to those pages and restudy them. In verses 8 through 11, Paul describes how the gifts are distributed. Notice, to one there is given, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And then he concludes, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So, friend, as the distribution of gifts takes place, and I'm glad for those last four words, just as He, God, determines, some get the gift of tongues and many others don't. We find this truth emphasized again in the chapter we're studying right now. In chapter 14, verse 5, Paul, who personally does have the gift of tongues himself, admits how wonderful it is and says this, I wish you all had the gift of speaking in tongues. Implying, of course, that a great number of them don't. As if to say, as Paul certainly might have, Preaching is such a thrill to me. To proclaim the story of Jesus, there's nothing I love more. I wish all of you had the gift of preaching, because it's such a great blessing. But not every Christian has that gift either. Paul, in fact, goes on right there in verse 5 after saying that he wished everyone in the church could speak in tongues and adds this, "But even more, I wish you were all able to prophesy, preaching God's message, for that is a greater and more useful power than to speak in unknown languages." Now, friend, in our last few moments, let me open my heart to you. It's sometimes taught that Christians everywhere, all Christians, every Christian, should be in possession of this one spiritual gift, tongues. Other gifts, according to this teaching, might be distributed selectively, but the gift of tongues, they suggest, is meant for everyone. Here in our office is a thick book on the subject, and it says this verbatim, quote, "Speaking in a tongue is the believer's external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, the same writer says 2 pages later, "Do you want to be personally edified, built up in the strength of the Lord, and have the power of His might in your life? Then you must speak much in tongues." Another book on the same topic, and I'm quoting, "The outward evidence that a Christian has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that he speaks in an unknown language." So, is this the one gift that breaks the divine selectivity barrier and goes to all believers? And whether it's the gift of miraculous foreign languages or unknown tongues, glossolalia, what does that imply for the millions of Christians who apparently don't have the gift? Stay with us and pray with us as we continue.
Yes, friend, we have 2 days yet to go, and we're grateful you're traveling with us on this difficult road. Remember, we want to send you a copy, absolutely free, of the Discover Bible Course booklet, Mysterious Power in My Life. It's a full-length, four-color Bible study on the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. Here's our toll-free request line, 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write to us at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Mysterious Power in My Life. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And if you can, please remember to include the call letters of this station. Tomorrow we'll ask if the gift of tongues can be counterfeited. Doesn't that imply that there's a real gift out there? Here's our title, Don't Take Any Wooden Nickels. Do join us again. From all of us here at the Voice of Prophecy, remember, it's always true. God really does love you.
Nobody likes a facade, yet facades are a billion-dollar business. Entire floors of department stores are dedicated to beauty products. Face paint. Facades, if you will. Yet in a recent survey of 1,000 Americans, the men described their ideal fantasy lover as a blue-eyed woman who wore no makeup. Chanel, the international fashion house, recently released a new men's aftershave lotion called L'Egoiste. To advertise it, Chanel spent many millions on the TV commercial. Many of the world's top models were flown to the Brazilian jungle, where a huge set was built to resemble the exterior of the Carlton Hotel in Cannes on the French Riviera. Although the building was largely a facade, a full interior was built behind each shuttered window where one of the 24 models wearing expensive evening gowns appeared. Meanwhile, in the surrounding Brazilian jungle, entire societies were living in third world poverty. How can such a technologically sophisticated culture as ours be so superficial? An ancient Jewish prophet said that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. How about you? Do you spend more time on your skin than you do on your soul?